Good afternoon. Before we begin, I'm going to recite 23 winners of Silent Auction. This will take a while, so bear with me while people are getting seated. Alright. Item number one, Chinese developer shirt, Ben Reynolds. Item two, 1 year subscription, Chris Crocken and Synthetic. Item number three, Pirate Dog Tags, Borisov. Item number four, Empire Dog Tags, Michael Fitzgerald. Item number five, Amar Abaddon Battleship Print, Michael Fitzgerald. Item number six, Minotaur Hurricane Print, Michael Fitzgerald. Item number eight, Ian Goodie Bag, Ed Berry. Item number nine, Design a Mission, Sam Townsend. Item number 10, Art of Eve and Imperial Age, Lucas Mitten. Item number 11, Not Later Pope, Michael Fitzgerald. Item number 12, Eve Online iPod, Michael Fitzgerald. Item number 14, Laser Edge Megathron, Brian Haynes. Item number 15, Dragonfire Coasters, LeBron Raphael. Alright, item number 16, Angel Carter T-shirt, Paul Fibonacci. Item number 17, T-shirt, Paul Thibodeau. Item number 18, Serenity posters, Dakla. Item number 19, Serenity mouse mat, Dakla. Item number 20, Immortality as an NPC in EVE RPG, Andrew Moore. Item number 21, Mimidian print, Paul Thibodeau. Item 22, War print, Paul Thibodeau. And finally, item number 22. Right. Speakeasy script. Misty Martonis. Alright, so these winners of the silent auction can claim their winnings at the EVE store after this session at 5 o'clock. Alright, make some noise! Are you ready for the keynote? So I'm lucky enough to get to hang around with some cool people that make working at CCP awesome. They're all good friends of mine, and they're here to bring you the future of EVE and CCP's world domination. I want all of you to place close attention. If you have anything in your hands, or get rid of it. Right, drink up. When I raise both my hands, I want you to applaud as hard as you can and stomp your feet as hard as you can and make as much vocal noise as you humanly possibly can. But once I lower my hands, I want you in complete silence. Are you ready? Exactly. Are you ready? That was pretty good. When I put my hands down, you need to stop completely and be silent. And I need much, much, much more noise. These are the guys. Are you ready? One more time. Awesome. All right, so give it up for Hilmar Veilar Peterson.
Okay, I just have to try it. Okay, it's good. Okay, we're changing this up a little bit since last year. We're going to have a whole lot of people presenting now over the next 2 hours. And we're going to interleave it with a lot of video material that we have been producing internally at CCP. Now that the company covers the globe and we have offices in Atlanta, Reykjavik, Shanghai, and London, it's more and more important for us to communicate internally. And we have taken some of the key things and put them into this presentation. The first thing we'll start with is an introduction to a little video which we made when we went to Morocco this year. Earlier this year, we took all of the company to Morocco to sort of push it together after all the growth that has been happening now in the last year. So this is the video we prepared for that offsite.
Thank you.
So, as I've talked about often, then during FanFest we have sort of all the stakeholders that surround both CCP and EVE Online in one audience. So often it's a good opportunity to tackle sort of more challenging questions in operating the company and what's happening to the game. So I have the burden of doing the boring stuff in the beginning, and then Nathan comes. So as you have probably seen now that Iceland is still here, regardless of what's claimed in press around the world. But there are some scary things happening here in Iceland and have been for the past month. And as you all seen it now, is that Iceland is still more or less here. But I want to emphasize that CCP is virtually unaffected by everything that's going on. Of course, all of you play the game and spent a lot of time and energy in it. So it's important that people have full reassurance that CCP is not going away, EVE Online is not going away. What's happening in Iceland specifically and the world around us really hasn't been affecting us to any degree. Things are even risen to the point where the UK implemented a terrorist legislation against some Icelandic companies, and where they got the idea that we were terrorists, I don't know where they got that. I truly don't know why. And of course we can be a little bit scary. This is my daughter, Eva Solveig, and she's not a terrorist. Of course, as you have seen now, beer prices have gone down by 50%, which is a positive effect of this. I've here drawn the Icelandic ISK, not the EVE ISK, against the dollars over each FanFest period. And as you see here, it's been quite a ride. They've gone from not seeing the laser pointer. No, it's too dim. But this is a pretty indicative picture of the situation. When you see the currency of a country being cut in half in basically a period of a month, then it has severe consequences. But I wouldn't really worry much about that for Iceland's behalf. We're tough people and we've seen tougher times than this. CCP, of course, is now a truly global organization. We have large footholds in America and Asia through our offices in Atlanta and Shanghai. And we've now been sort of recovering a little bit from the fast growth that we have seen the company go through. In 2005, we were 45, and now we're almost reaching 400 people. So it's been quite an infrastructure improvement for CCP. And here's a little sort of indication, again, another video that we produced for our sort of annual kickoff event this August. Of course, our true insulation is not only in the fact that we have global infrastructure to work on the game, but really what makes us the most sound is, of course, you guys that come from all over the world. And really, when we see the world economy fluctuate all over the earth, we see how much of a of a privilege it is to run such a truly global company that can balance against all these changes. And of course, we, as we see the world sort of tremble around us, we focus on making sure that our foundations for our economy, the EVE economy, is really sound, and all our decisions for, like, getting AO on board to manage the economy for us, having democratically elected members of the CSM, make sure that we communicate well with the community and have a formal place to tackle the issues that come up. All these things have now, I say, made us even stronger. And just seeing the CSM meeting here today, it was just mind-blowing to see people that have volunteered to do this. This is a lot of work. And the fact that they've been able to be so professional, they've been able to convince everyone at CCP that this truly adds value to what we're doing in only 6 months. Sure, they have not fixed every issue in the game yet. There was a little bit of high expectations there in the beginning. But I say that it's been a true honor to work with these people, and I think we should all give them an applause. And with this, we're off to a great start, and this will continue to grow in importance and responsibility for everything that involves EVE Online. This is Iceland in the summer. It's different than Iceland in November, and probably many of you have only seen Iceland in November. I think one of the positive things that might come out of this whole economic readjustment for Iceland is that we could have FanFest in the summer. But let's see. Here's a slide that I present every FanFest. This is sort of the update of CCP from last year's FanFest. As you see, we have gone from 267 employees to 367. And all our other metrics regarding the health of EVE Online have grown almost according to plan. I had planned on topping Iceland this year, but I guess we have to wait for next year. Or maybe Iceland will shrink a little bit and catch up to it. Last year, we were spending a lot of time on the unifying the company. Now that we have offices in three places around the world, make sure that we all feel like one company regardless. And then this fall, we were basically going under this initiative, which is called More Production, where we were taking all of the benefit from having grown the company to this size, making sure that we have the processes and infrastructure to really be able to leverage this into all of the projects that we were working on in August. We were working on a lot of projects this year, and here's a little slide that sort of represents all of the initiatives that we were focusing on building on top of our core technology base. We have, for this year, been making sure that we take the technology which powers EVE Online and make it much stronger to be able to cover, to power more games than just EVE. And of course, we've talked about World of Darkness, and that's one of the games, but we had some other tricks up our sleeves that we were working on. And you've seen some of the improvements that this focus on the core technology base has had. We've seen Stackless IO coming out, making vast improvements to everything that has to do with performance and latency. So these have been the benefits. But we've been actually readjusting CCP a little bit these past 2 months or so, with the economic situation in the world being as it is, and every important central bank manager in the world telling us it's going to go even darker before it gets better. Then we have been focusing a little bit on our core business, and we've been taking all of this infrastructure that was working on all these projects and focus it more on EVE. And you saw, of course, working in stations, how much improvement and how much we've been able to push that. Quantum Rise is coming out next week, but there's more. But that will be shown a little later. So, this was us going back to basics, or back to basic, as we say in Iceland. Don't have the English grammar. So EVE is our core business. And we are now focusing much more on EVE than we were doing earlier this year. I would say that while we were juggling all these balls with our additional projects, we lost a little bit of focus on EVE, but now we're laser focused on making sure that EVE catches up to its technology depth and all that, and we're going to see more on that later. So we finally have 300 people that work on Eve. Like, it's 300 people, and we're going to make it the most amazing thing ever created. And, of course, a lot of it has been tuning our processes and making sure that we can really harness these 300 people to generate value and deliver it to market. And we're going to do it, I would say, faster than you have seen, and more on that later. Progress will not be stopped. This is us, and all our obstacles are like that little tiny guy. So, the future is going to be told by Nathan. Nathan!
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Thank you very much. Glad to see you all here again. Actually, quite a few familiar faces from the first FanFest. It's awesome seeing us go through all these years. And like he had shown, we've been going through quite a lot lately. My role has changed in the company, but I want to start off with a small video for you.
So I did, yeah? Okay.
Okay, good. Thanks.
So, the boat down I think?
Yeah.
That's good. Took care of it?
Yeah, taken care of it.
Thanks, man.
I mean, if we can't make fun of ourselves, who can, right? We're a team, and you'll see some of the team coming up here. We think of us as a team, but it's more like kind of locker room, you know, casually slapping each other's ass, and really, kind of like this. Of course, this is a stereotypical computer gamer. But it's more like we're more competitive, so we feel more like a women's soccer team. There they actually won. What I want to cover first is the ecosystem of Eve that we're kind of going for in the long run here. As you see there, Eve itself has many aspects to it, and it's kind of our strategy to break down those barriers. At the top, you'll see the MMO. Next up, we have our social network coming in, which is the Cosmos. We have game console strategy. We have physical products coming out. We want to go into mobile again. Some of you might remember Eve Mobile. It worked for a while, but it might be coming back again. We also have like a light strategy, which is kind of like a messaging client. You can think about it like a MSN. And we have the API, which we're using to build all of these services upon. So like we're expanding the API, so you have like access to the data that we actually use to build their own applications, and you've seen quite a lot of community-created applications. The Evilopedia is coming, actually. I said before the end of the year in that blog, but it's actually in the following weeks. It's going to be pretty awesome because I think that throughout time we've lost a lot of history of Eve, both in-game, out-of-game, and also, of course, just properly documenting everything that we have. So I'm looking forward to this actually taking off. It's also a better like venue for us starting talking about early what we're trying to do and actually start a centralized location of everything from articles to blogs and so on and so forth. Cosmos, this is probably something of not quite clear what it is in the beginning, but we've been thinking about doing this for almost 5 years. I talked about it 2 years ago, so I think we'll be done with it in about 5 years more. It's a basic social network. You can think about Facebook or MySpace, except, of course, this is within the Eve universe. Think of it this way. At home, you play Eve. At work, you're not playing Eve. But with this, you can. It's also public and private areas for groups, corporations, alliances. So you can have a public front and you can show everybody what you're doing, and you can have also closed productivity tools for you as a group to organize. Here you see actually the profile of yourself. You see the calendars there, the buddies, latest news, news articles. But this, for example, is kind of the coolest thing because this is a calendar which will be in-game and out-of-game, and it will include all your alliance entries, corporation entries, so it's automatically populated with a lot of relevant information in addition to your mining ops, which I'm sure you're all into planning. So we have blocks, so on and so forth, but what's really interesting is that we're going to expose game functionality within Cosmos. No, market, contracts, so on and so forth. That's how you play EVE at work. So if I can state the obvious, we're trying to own your life. Yeah, me too. We have common interests here, right? The API is moving forward, and like I said earlier, the strategy there is really by us exposing in-game data, we're kind of breaking down the walls of having to be inside the EVE client. And at the same time that we're opening up new formal functionality, you will have everything you can actually do. Of course, there will be quite a few systems which won't be accessible externally due to a lot of factors, business value, security, load. But EVEmon is a good example of something that spun up from the API, well, the early versions of it. But if you let your mind go loose and really think of, so like, what would be cool? Add voice to it, the in-game chat, Cosmos functionality, and you have a messenger where you can actually you talk to the guys on the corp channel from a small application outside. So yeah, I mean, awesome thoughts, and EVEmon, awesome stuff. The competitiveness is something I want to tell you about a little bit as well. This is Magnus, our marketing director, and these guys here are also in marketing, but you just wait. This is how we operate.
Can you hear that?
What's that sound?
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's coming closer. What is it? This time around, we're going to have Noah come up here and talk a little bit about a quantum rise, and then Torre will come up and expand upon that. I will go into the future later on, but at least let's say hello to Noah and Let him show you Quantum Life. All right, can you hear me?
Sounds like it.
So, yeah, Quantum Rise, it's got a bunch of features. I'm not going to really go into all the features. I'm just going to talk about some of the ones that are more visual because that's more fun to look at. So the first thing I was going to talk about is certifications. And this is kind of a goal-setting mechanism for you guys to there's a bunch of certifications along the side, and you can Okay, it's a goal-setting mechanism, and you can see here that skills lead into specific certifications that help you find out which ship you want to fly. So I can just show you basically how it works. So here you can see that I have some of the skills, but not all the skills. And if I did have all the skills for this specific certification, I could apply for it, and then it goes into my character sheet, and I can set them to public if I want to. And then if a corp wants to recruit me, they say, you need the like elite tackler certification, or you know, you could be a miner or a cap ship pilot. And so instead of basically, like a lot of corps, you have to give them your API key, and then they go like check out what skills you have. This is kind of a better way to say, we need you to have these specific skills in our corporation or our organization. And it also helps you go, okay, you know, what do I really need to be the best, you know, capital ship pilot? And I could look at that specific certification. So the next one I want to talk about is medals, or decorations. These are a thing for corporations to reward their members for doing various stuff. So you have this new window in the corp management area, and you would basically, you can create medals from this template. It works somewhat like how the corp logos work, but there's a lot more layers that you can use. And you give it a name, and you give it a description, and then you can, you'll have your whole list of medals in there, and you award it to someone. And as you can see, it goes in your character sheet and into the show info window, and you can also set them to hidden if you don't necessarily want them to show up. And then once they're in there, people can get info on them and see which medals you've been awarded. And then kind of the final thing I wanted to talk about Quantum Rise is we added a new ship, and a lot of you guys maybe know about it. So you got the industrial over here on the right, and a freighter on the left, and in between it is a new ship, the Orca, which is it can use modules, unlike freighters. So you can use it in mining ops, and it's pretty cool. So Quantum Rise is going to be out on Tuesday, and it's going to be awesome. And I think what you guys really want to see is the trailer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrapping up financial news, commodity prices fell on profit-taking for trading runs, but the manufacturing sector rallied on economic data showing a sharp increase in orders for Starship components. Meanwhile, an increase in mining yield for the period indicates...
We have a breaking story. This is live footage of the Rebels' border in Solitude, where Imperial Navy warships have just crossed... We have reports now that those ships belong to the Amarian Royal Air, Urium Kador, not the Imperial...
Whoa!
They will fire.
I don't believe it.
Amarian Air, Urium Kador, has just launched a personal invasion of Federation space, which just months ago was invaded by... I'm sorry, we're getting more footage now.
Okay, heavy fighting is underway between forces in... Look!
Military experts are calling this a sinusoidal field.
Hundreds, maybe thousands of ships are coming through.
This is a massive Federation counterattack. The Galentians are fighting back with everything they've got.
Look! A Federation Titan has just come through!
There's no escaping them now.
Thank you.
Should we watch it one more time?
Yeah. Okay. Just hit the back button and it'll go. Maybe. Wait. There we go.
Wrapping up financial news, commodity prices fell on profit-taking for trading runs, but the manufacturing sector rallied on economic data showing a sharp increase in orders for Starship components. Meanwhile, an increase in mining yield for the period indicates...
We have a breaking story. This is live footage of the Rebelos border in Solitude, where Imperial Navy warships have just crossed... wait, correction. We have reports now that those ships belong to the Amarian Royal... Air Orion Cador, not the Imperial. They opened fire. Amarian Air Orion Cador has just launched a personal invasion of Federation space, which just months ago was invaded by... I'm sorry, we're getting more footage now.
Okay, heavy fighting is underway between forces in... Look!
Military experts are calling this a sinusoidal field.
Hundreds, maybe thousands of ships are coming.
This is a Federation counterattack. The Goetians are fighting back with everything they've got.
Look, a Federation Titan has just come through.
There's no escaping them now.
All right. Yeah, I think you're up. Hey. Hey, guys. So I want to talk to you a little bit about our summer expansion of 2009. No, as soon as what's happening next Tuesday, I want to show you the future. So, what is in the summer expansion? First of all, before I go into this, I want to say that, like Hilmar pointed out, we actually have re-strategized a bit. We have taken up a strategy which I like to call the cauldron, where we took a bunch of people working within CCP, within its various projects, up to 300 of them, and tore them out of all these nice little projects and threw them in a big cauldron called Eve, and we've stirred that cauldron and we've built, using Agile and Scrum and all these fancy software development methodologies, a massive team that's laser focused on delivering this expansion for you, which is the biggest expansion in Eve as of today. There will be more developers working on it, more programmers, more artists, more everything, more producers. than ever before, and we are really excited about it, and we're hoping that you will be too. So, what's in it? The kind of key focus of the expansion will be on true exploration. We don't have a real name for it; we just call it the Summer Expansion of 2009 yet. But the focus is on exploration. So, one thing it has unstable wormholes. So. Of course, they were always there. You just didn't notice them. But all over space, both in Empire and in Zero and wherever, you will be able, using your new scanner and your new map, to track down these unstable wormholes that fluctuate, that open up and close down and open up and close down, and lead you into different areas of space, undiscovered space, off the map, who knows where, full of stuff, full of ancient stuff, which contain unique stellar phenomena, and they contain the key to Tech 3, which is stuff, resources, and artifacts and stuff that are going to open up pathway to Tech 3. And you will also need new skills and modules to explore them. We're also going to be improving the new player experience. I mean, for you guys, I guess most of you are not very new players, so you're not this guy. And I'm not going to say that you're this woman either, but it has been pointed out to some of us that Eve does have a mildly steep learning cliff, and
And it's stopping a few potential recruits from getting in there that would otherwise have served us well. And we want to improve that. So we're going to simplify it kind of the first time you go into Eve. We're going to shorten the period, like from once you start the client, once you're in space actually doing stuff. So we're going to take a lot of the selections that you make in character creation and push them kind of into your first days of your Eve experience, although we're not going to nerf making alt quick. So don't worry about that. But so you can still post on the forums and whine. The UI is also, we've kind of taken another focus on the UI. The UI is a productivity tool. It should be an extension of your mind to actually do stuff inside the game. Of course, that's what it's supposed to do, but there are even more strengthening that. And we built up and recently hired and built up a good UI design group that's like laser focused on doing exactly that. And the UI in Eve is undergoing a lot of usability kind of analysis, and we, you know, things that used to take like 20 button clicks should now only take one, etc. I'm not going to promise you an overhaul the UI just overnight, but we will be focusing on your first steps within Eve, but this group will continue to work, of course, once the expansion is out, and we will be slowly kind of just revamping the UI, just like we've been revamping the graphics, and we're iterating on Eve and continuously developing it. We will also be introducing epic mission arcs. So the epic mission arcs are kind of hierarchies of missions and trees where you traverse through a single storyline, and a mission can lead to another mission that leads to another mission. There are choices. If you fail that mission, it's not an epic fail. You can actually, it just opens up a door to another, like, poor you, loser. Take this mission. But if you win the mission, you can do this mission, and this mission, and this mission, and you can do them again, and then traverse the tree in a different way. And this means that, it is the dark secret of Eve, that a lot of people actually do solo and just do not play the big MMO game, you know. They like to do missions and run missions, and that's cool. And this will provide a very good mechanism and then framework for them to play within. Of course, it's going to have cool missions. I'm mostly talking about the engineering part of it here. But I actually think that this is going to be fun, and then it's going to be something really cool here. So good loot over here. So the missions will be branching, and they will introduce the wormholes via the storyline and lead on to an exploration path. Now, Tech 3. I think it was 2004 that we released Tech 2, but it was in 2003 that I actually gave somebody a Tech 4 miner, which was good fun. Yes. Tech 5, yes. So, 3. We got it back. I'm not going to tell him how. You're going to need new resources that you will find in the new locations out in the unstable wormholes. There will be new reactions for building the modules and ships. And you're going to have totally new ships and customizability in fitting as never before. So here are some initial concepts for Kaldari Tech 3 ships. But how many, one might ask? I'm not going to flip that fast. I'm going back. This is the first one. Second one, third one. But what are their names? One might ask. And how many? I want more. Well, initially we thought, okay, let's do Tech 3 and let's do like one ship per race. That's not really fun. It's not enough. We want more. Okay, maybe two ships per race. One really nerfed, little crappy frigate, and one like massive, really, really good. Lead ship. No, we need something in the middle. There are so many like expectations, and people have so much expectations for Tech 3. How can we serve our customers? So we thought of like giving you this ship, and then giving you this ship, but also this ship, and we'd also like to give you this ship, and this ship, and this ship, and this ship, and this ship. So. So rather than giving you ships, we're giving you components. And you can build your own ship. And you can disassemble it, and you can upgrade to this component or this component. Or if you're really rich, you can upgrade to this component. But you're really not going to afford that. And then put on a different booster or different defense systems. And all of these systems, of course, have different attributes. These aren't just fancy graphics. This is like total customizability in fitting. And this might give you like different amounts of slots, different stats, different hit points, etc. So this is truly empowerment. So this is kind of an explanation of how they would go about. We have some preliminary models built, but we don't think they're cool enough, so we're not showing them yet. You know, they haven't undergone the anally retentive polish that our artists have got. So there you are. So it's cool stuff, and there is more stuff. We're going to be improving the NPC AI, or actually we're going to be doing NPC AI. And we're probably not going to be replacing all of the NPC AI overnight, because it's just would upset the entire balance of the game. We'd be introducing the new AI in end bosses, and then slowly introducing it in more and more NPCs. Just have to be careful not to connect all of them together. Could be bad. And that's it for our summer expansion. And now Gabe Mahoney and Haldur Fannar are going to talk about lead tech stuff.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Gabe Mahoney. You guys all know Haldur.
I guess you do.
Probably do.
Yeah, maybe seen me before. So this is kind of the clone of me right over here. He's the management side.
I'm mini me.
Yeah, exactly.
So my name is Gabe. I'm the VP of engineering. Haldur is the CTO, and together we manage and run the tech side of CCP. I'm new. I started in January. Last year, actually, I was sitting out there as a fan. I've been playing since 2005, and this year I'm standing up here and talking to you, and that's pretty awesome. That's a good feeling. So we wanted to talk with you about tech and what we've been doing and what we're going to be doing. Probably the most important thing that we've been doing this year is really refocusing on Eve as a technology base. And we are just absolutely committed to taking Eve and making it better. Probably the biggest example of that this year was killing the lags. So this was actually a quote from a player. When we introduced Stackless.io, I sat in Jira, and I watched that weekend on Sunday to see what people's responses were. And this was actually a quote from one of the folks in Jira, and he asked, where are the lags? And where are the lags indeed? Basically, we ate them. We made a huge impact on lag with Stackless.io this year. I think we're having up to 800-900 people in Jira right now, and it's responsive. Module lag in mission hubs has decreased from, module activation lag has decreased from like 10 seconds to 2 seconds. And we've got massive fleet fights going on with really, really good performance. So this has been a huge deal. And what this was us taking a piece of technology that we had that worked. I mean, we had the world's largest single-sharded game universe. It was working. You guys were using it. We were all loving it. We took the time and the energy, and it was a lot of time and energy, to go and make it better, just because we could.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a long story to get to this point. I mean, it starts way back in an airplane. Christian Waller and myself having to take 3 consecutive flights on our way from Reykjavik to Texas to go to a conference. Prior to this, we had been talking about different methods of improving the actual just I/O throughput on the server. And so it's actually kind of funny and shows how hopelessly optimistic we are, is that on this plane, we're talking about us having to give a presentation in Texas. It's actually partially why we're going to Texas. And we don't have anything prepared. So we're on the plane talking about it, and we start talking about the whole lag thing and the different ideas we have. And we start talking about totally turning the problem on its side and approaching it from a different end and using Stackless Python actually much more to deal with concurrency that you want to have when you're both moving data and acting on data. So Kristen and I come up with this great idea that we program something on the plane that we're going to show at the conference in Texas. Of course, you know, this doesn't quite work out because, you know, then we had over a year of development and then we finally shipped it.
Yeah.
So, of course, we talked about something totally different in Texas. But this kind of was the initial seed of the Stackless I.O. solution.
Yeah. So who's this guy, Christian Valor, that Haldor's talking about? I think we have a slide.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is Christian Valor. This is the guy, this is the brains behind Stackless I.O. And I want to note that it was a team effort to get this thing out. A lot of people working on it for quite a while. But this was really... These are the big guns behind Stackless I.O. So I don't know if he's here today, but I actually like everybody to give a huge round of applause for Christian Valor. Ah, no good. Try again. Very good. So,
and this is ongoing. I mean, sure, we made a huge improvement, and now we're just on a roll. We moved to 64-bit to have more headroom with memory. And we've improved the scheduling. It's actually been really refreshing to see all the other improvements that have been made in the process of this singular effort of getting the Stackless I.O. deployed on Tranquility.
And it was a hugely complicated feat to do it. I actually had, I'm not as technical as Haldor and Christian, but I had them sort of explain it to me. And I don't think I got all of it, but I think I did. I think I can try to explain it to you guys. First off, there's a rumor out there that CCP's server farm is basically a hamster in a wheel spinning with a bunch of wires connected to it. I want to take a moment right now to say it is nowhere near that simple. There are hundreds of hamsters and thousands of wires. It's remarkably complicated. And all of these hamsters need to communicate with each other. You know, when you go to find out the cost of an item in another region or you do a database update or something like that, the hamsters have to get together and talk and communicate. And all of that talking takes time. Effectively, what we did, you know, the hamsters were talking at a normal rate of speed like this. What Christian has done and the team has done is he's got them speed talking. They're talking like auctioneers. It's just, and it's just faster. So that's how it works. This slide is talking about what happened initially when we released it. So the hamsters all started talking really, really fast. It was awesome. And actually on the first weekend, 1,200 of you guys showed up in JITA. That was insane. And unfortunately, it melted one of the hamster's brains. he just went down and the poor little guy was twitching and it was really sad. And so we realized that we had basically found a bottleneck. And this is actually how performance improvements are normally done. You've got a system of sort of bits flowing, and you find out where the bottlenecks are in that system. When you remove one bottleneck, you basically allow for another one to hit you. And what happened was we removed latency as a bottleneck, and we found that memory was the next bottleneck. So actually in a week, which was unheard of, we went from a 32-bit architecture to a 64-bit architecture. Again, I don't know exactly what that means, but basically we made the hamster's brains a lot bigger. So they were talking so fast that their heads filled up and the heads exploded, so we made the heads twice as big. So we've got giant-headed hamsters running the server farm. Haldor cringing right now, thinking, why did I hire this guy? This was a bad idea.
He does management.
I was going to stay here for a second. And I wanted to talk a little bit about why we do this stuff. Like I said before, we don't really have to. There wasn't really business reason for us to go in. This stuff was working. It basically worked. It was, you know, a successful product. We didn't have to go in and do this. And the reason why we did this, in my opinion, it's a little cheesy, but it's love. First off, these engineers love the code. We love the code. It's basically a sexual fetish for ones and zeros. They're bit perverts, and frankly, it's a little scary and freaky sometimes, but it's also awesome, and it really is. These guys, all of us, are just in love with the code and in love with making new technology. And secondly, we love you guys. We knew that if we really invested in this, we could make the experience so much better. Fleet Fight, JITA, all that different stuff, and it would just be a huge improvement for you guys. We wanted you to have it. And second off, you know, we just love this game. All of us at CCP, all the folks who built it and all of us who've come in afterwards are just huge fans of the game. And we wanted to give this to the world. So that's why we're doing this stuff.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, the fleet fights are an end game for a lot of your players as you progress through the game. So it makes a lot of sense for us to finally tackle that big problem. And actually, just then, we feel we've expanded the game. Now there's more to do.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, next you've heard a lot about high-performance computing, and I just wanted to give a quick update on this. You know, the improvements that you saw in LAG today were actually not related to high-performance computing. They were related to us changing our architecture. High-performance computing is, and the architecture is at the software level. High-performance computing is basically at the hardware and network level, and we're doing a lot of cool things there. We've actually got a high-performance computing cluster up and running. It's a small one, but we've been able to run Eve on it, which is pretty cool. And what this really allows us to do is this allows us to parallelize the code. And I didn't say paralyze, because that would not be a good thing. But parallelize, which means run it in sequence. To the hamster analogy again, basically, originally when CPU manufacturers were growing their CPUs or their hamsters, they were making them bigger, faster, and beefier. At a certain point in time, the hamsters started getting too big and beefy, and they melted. And they realized that they just couldn't make them any bigger. So now what they're doing is they're packing more and more onto a blade. And so you've got more and more CPUs to take advantage of. And that's what high-performance computing does. It's going to allow us to take, you know, the single architecture that we've got today and spread it across more and more computing power.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be huge.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a combination of hardware and software. So the hardware is taking a certain route, and we kind of have to just follow that direction, because that's where we can actually gain performance. So that's why, you know, stackless I/O is a big thing for us, and we're going to be doing more stuff like that. We need to find a way to properly run Python in isolation from the C++ code, so we can actually have those working in complete parallel.
Yeah.
And so, we're actually making good progress on this. So we're expecting huge, more breakthroughs, not just this one.
Yeah. So that's been on the sort of server side.
Yeah.
We also wanted to show you a little bit more on the graphics side. It's always hard to show server technology because it's not flashy and cool. So we saved the good stuff for the end.
Yeah.
And Haldor is actually going to walk you now through a demo of a working... prototype working implementation.
An early prototype. So the thing is that Torve told you he couldn't show you anything because it hadn't been, you know, approved by the artists. But, you know, I'm famous for doing this. I show you crappy programmer art.
We're probably going to get in a lot of trouble for this.
Exactly. So it doesn't even have textures and what have you not. But, you know, I still think it is cool because you can see variations, right? So you can just let your mind run free about what we can do. And this just has a small set. I did some numbers also. The setup is that we are aiming now for 5 levels in each category, and then 5 categories. That's 3,125 combinations that you can make of a ship. Now, which is pretty cool. We might actually reduce that number a little bit due to some gameplay restrictions where we don't want to have a ship that's maybe all maxed out in all categories. You know, that would be Nathan's ship, of course.
he gets to have that ship.
I also had an argument with Nathan. He told me that the combination should be 7,776. And I told him that didn't make any sense. And he said he didn't care. He liked the number.
Only Nathan can argue
with
math.
So now you see what it is that we have to work with.
So had a couple more screenshots
that
you've seen, you know, what it's going to look like when it's actually out there.
Yeah.
But a lot of cool stuff, and we're really excited to be bringing this technology to you guys.
Yeah. And that's it for us.
$7,776. Remember that. It's a magic number. Future. I've tried to get this expansion going for quite a while. Probably 3 fanfests to go. Marketing still doesn't like me for it. I think it's an awesome name. So I'm stepping up my internal marketing efforts of getting this expansion. And I got some of my friends to really work with me here and show that, you know, some carnage, some healthy carnage can be good. Guys, seriously, stop it.
Okay, sorry. The other thing that I was talking about was actually that, you know.
I thought I told you to be quiet.
Yeah, so maybe we should be doing movie making instead of game expansion, right? Some remarkable talent there. Thank you.
Whoops, wait, there we go. So, future. I always throw in a little something at the end of futuristic stuff that we've been thinking about. We always say we have a 10-year plan, and that's because there's a document that says 10 years, and it's a plan. But the sequence of how it's going to be happening and what's actually going to be in those future expansions, beyond the next summer, of course, we have walking in stations coming up. What you see here is actually planetary rings. We really want to make those because I think that could totally change the incredibly awesome mining that we have today to something even more incredibly awesome. And it also has a lot of possibilities for new gameplay. We've thought about subsystem targeting. I think this picture gives the idea, but it's not gone any further than this. This is usually me, like late in the evening, trying to put some pictures together. And then people just look at me like, what the fuck are you doing? Walking in stations. There's the sexy beast. You know, one day maybe. I like bigger. Oh, yes.
The Game Masters play an important role, standing their shifts around the clock, rooting out spies, traitors, and other undesirables. Of course, once a scammer or a gold miner has been captured, he is treated in the most humane way possible, all according to the intricate specifics of the Geneva Convention. All that's required is a little bit of cooperation, and the world can be a happier place. Nothing can stop the onslaught of CCP. Beyond the Great, Great Wall, our Chinese troops are getting ready to march into battle. Colonel Kiaton is seen here going over the assignments of the day, giving them his official seal of approval. We must all remember to buy our share of war bonds first. Rubber stamps don't come cheap. Colonel Torpey shows our leader the recent progress in our prestigious Walking in Stations project. An unprecedented amount of work and effort has gone into building this marvelous space station. It bears repeating, nothing is too good for our troops. Here we see Colonel Benjamin test out the facilities. It seems Colonel Benjamin may need our leader to give him a refresher course in the entering and exiting of portals. What larks! The soldiers exchange jocularities and military stratagems with the officers. What camaraderie these brave men have! The war demands immense versatility of our people. Here we see Lieutenant Bork Bork, who once designed warships for our armadas, but has now been set to draw our inspirational vistas. Ah, our intrepid leader sees room for improvement. How marvelous it is to have such multi-talented people in our high command. Hilmar puts down the finishing touches, and the assembly is amazed and delighted at the improvement. But our leader's boundless talents don't stop there. His impeccable skills at every level of our operation mean that he regularly tutors our grateful troops in the perfection of their trade. Forget the mysterious workings of the culinary arts. Don't forget the salt, girls.
Yeah, we thought about people in Eve. That is, you know, all the other trillions of other people besides you, the pot pilots. Except people doesn't really sound interesting, so we thought we'd call it human resources, which is really what they're going to be. It reflects the brutality of the universe in Eve. They're quite volatile, as humans are. They're also perishable. There's attrition here. They're educatable, and they're re-educatable, like a true Amard does. And, of course, they're processable as well. What we really want to introduce there is more the scale of you being a demigod and immortal versus the rest of the people in the world, which are really there to do your bidding. Empty dead space, we've known this as Cosmos version 2, but then we decided to do this website and call it Cosmos. So we're shifting that back. We might call it version 3 of COS and skip the MOS, so it's not really confusing. But it's really new and current environments, and also with tactical effects which affect you, but it's empty, so it's really you finding the empty dead space and actually populating it with stuff. In there we want to put what I call Winsaucibles. These are amazing things. This is what you populate like empty dead space with, and empowers you to really harness the resources and actually process them in there.
I still haven't found a good name for it, but I think this would do to actually do it. But it's, you know, deployable structures which really allow you to create that space which other people want to get into as well. So they're taking your stuff instead of some NPC stuff. I think that's more awesome. And would be something like this, where you're actually linking the deployables up and you have fuels. You see people fuel, slaves fuel, batteries fuel, people that operate it, and some anomaly which you actually have to place the deployables on. So Vince Sausables, anybody has a better name, you can talk to me later on. Planets, you've perhaps seen this. This is a concept of how we're thinking about the first levels of planetary interaction. You as a, like a demigod, you would actually be ruling large parts of a planet. That makes much more sense, it's much more fun, and it actually kind of, you know, mixing the scales, putting in more riot police, less riot police, putting military, or just farmers. Yes. But also, of course, we have some stuff that we want to do in terms of joystick flight. These are actually from 2004. Imagine that. So these would be huge asteroids which would be flying through and using joysticks. I think this is a cool concept, but it's an immense task, and like everything else that's here, it's still something that we would like to do. So it's really giving you insight into what we're thinking about the far, far future, because we're not really going anywhere, and neither is Eve, because you're here. So thank you for that. Warm planets. This is from me when I was at E3, and as you can see, I'm wearing all my clothes, including my shoes and everything. And he actually said to this, you know, said this to me. It's like the pool hours was over, and this was actually him seeing Ali giggling next to me after having thrown me into the pool. And I tried to tell him that, you know, I didn't really intentionally go in here, so pool hours don't really apply. Sir, pool hours are over. Would you like a towel? And this is what I thought. So yeah, there's going to be more warm planets in the future as well. But really thinking far ahead, I mean, there's so many opportunities that we can do. I've always wanted to, I don't know, like the world is so expandable, because we're now in space, we're going into stations, we have planets, you can rule the planets, but really also, I mean, it's endless. And then we can actually add more planets to the whole universe. But that's about it for me. I think you've enjoyed seeing what we're coming up with, the summer expansion, walking on station.
Okay, this is enough. Wait, I need to start to see this before you show people this.
Go.
Okay, there you saw it. Why we need to focus on Eve. We've obviously done nothing at the office but make funny videos all this year. And sneaky stuff. So, but there is one more thing that we wanted to talk about today. And it's about the summer expansion that Torbjörn just showed you. And how awesome is that going to be? Eve Online True Exploration will come in a box. Yes, Eve will go into stores again in 2009 with True Exploration in it. And, okay, that might not seem like a great thing to you guys that already have the game, but we have realized basically this year, where we have seen a lot of MMOs come out and sell a lot of boxes through retail, that retail definitely has a huge value to add to a massively multiplayer game, and we of course are not stopping any of our digital distribution initiatives, but you will be able to go to a store and pick up even a box. And this is something that we've sort of been thinking about for a long time. How would we do it? Will we really find somebody that is able to do it in a clever way with us so that it really adds value? And after having talked a lot to a lot of people in the industry and see what we could do, we ended up picking Atari for it. So Atari is going to handle for us all the physical distribution for Eve next year, And we think this is going to be huge. And now that we have been able to take the lag out of Eve, make gigantic brain hamsters that speak fast to each other. I'm getting second thoughts on this Gabe guy. Where is he? Now that we are able to take on more people without it really pushing out any of the existing value of Eve, I think this is going to be huge. And we've talked to a lot of people at Tartari, and they really feel the same way. They think there is a huge opportunity, even though Eve is not a new game. But because MMOs are like red wine, they become better as they become older. They definitely get it, and we've been talking to both people on top and people in the trenches at Atari, and they all get it. And we got David Gardner, the CEO of Atari, to do a little video address to sort of try to convince you guys that they get it completely. And here we have
it. Hello to everyone at the Eve Fan Fest on the top of the world in Reykjavik, Iceland. I'm sorry I can't be there myself. I really enjoy the hospitality in Iceland. I'm sure you guys are having a great time. And you're going to have a lot of fun looking at all the new technology and improvements that are coming to the university. I'm David Gardner, and I've just become the chief executive of Atari at the beginning of this year. I spent 25 years working in the gaming industry. Before this, I was at the Borg, Electronic Arts, where I was responsible for the European business and also chief operating officer of the studios. And really what I learned in that time was that the future was about network-centric gaming and being online. And that really is my passion, and that's why I'm so excited to come now to Atari, a name that you're really familiar with, but who needs to really move itself into the future. And that's what we're trying to do. So to learn about the future, we wanted to hang out with the people that are already inventing it. And it's my impression that CCP and the fans of Eve are taking those steps already. So we met these guys and decided that it would be fantastic if we could see how we might work together. So the decision was to bring Eve to the retail world. That's something Atari already does really well. We have 50,000 stores around the world that we do business with. And we want to bring the Eve universe to those stores so that customers that would not otherwise have learned about Eve will discover this exciting place to become new members of corporations, to become new players, and yes, maybe even become a little bit of fun for the existing world. I think that what we really are asking for the players and the fans that you guys represent to do is to help bring these new players in and teach them what future gaming is all about. I think they are going to have a wonderful time developing their own corporations, maybe join existing ones, and really just hoping that you'll find that we expand the gaming universe. I think that's really the major goal in what we're doing and why retail still has a place today in gaming. Most consumers find out about new games through seeing physical products on the shelf. And that's really the idea of bringing Eve into a box, but still connecting it and keeping it up to date with the Eve universe. So we appreciate your support. We hope you'll go gentle on the new players, that you won't kill them too soon, only kill the people that are really frustrating. And have a great time in Iceland. Enjoy the PvP tournament. I look forward to seeing you online. Thanks very much. Woo!
Works. I think we should do it again. This is awesome. But, okay, so this is the summer expansion. We usually do like two expansions a year, one in the summer and one in the winter. And of course, we're next year also releasing Walking in Stations, so there's a lot to do. Like, what could be even more awesome than that? And now that we have stopped making funny videos and all that, we're focused on Eve, 300 people, like, what does that really mean? It's like Tech 3 gonna be even more awesome when it comes, or what will it mean? What it will mean is that this is not coming out next summer. This is coming out in March. So 4 months from now, it's all coming in this box. So. Damn it, I like it. I don't know what could be more awesome than getting those Motorola ships in 4 months. It's like Quantum Rise next week, we're going to cancel Christmas and get it out in March. Okay, it's going to be a lot of effort. We're 300 working on this all across the globe. It's a massive undertaking, and but we have been training for this for 11 years now, and I think we can pull it off. I know we can pull it off, and we're all doing this for you. And I was going to have a long bit here in the end about CCP vision and mission for all of this, why are we here and all that, and I've been telling that so often, and I think you guys really get it, that massively multiplayer games are the future form of entertainment. It's going to be much bigger than we ever think today, but it will be now. It's going to be like when you were making movies in the beginning of the 19th century. We are in that place. So I'm not going to really talk a lot about that, but I'm going to show you another funny video, which is really, you sort of see it, this is all the employees of CCP, and I think the sentiment sort of pours through this video, why we are really here, and how committed we are to make this awesome. And because it's all about you, I just updated this slide because I do it every FanFest, and I saw that Torvi could make the pointer work. We're now up to 328,000 man years, which have gone into building the world of EVE as it stands today. And as we all know here, only a small part of what EVE is really what CCP does to it. Really what makes EVE are all of you. And it's amazing, and it will become even more amazing. So here we are at the end. We'll have the panel and do a little setup for that. So you will have a little break to go and pee and get beer. But we're going to end with this. This is
we are the children, we are the ones who make it brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making, we're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
So we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world, we are the children, we are the world to make a brighter day, so let's start giving. Oh, there's a choice for making. Can fall.
Well, when I'm not realized,
Next is the panel.
Next is the panel, yes. So you can all take a break. What time is it now?
Yeah, what time is it? Beer time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beer time. We're gathering at 5 o'clock, and then we will have set the panel, and you can ask all the questions you like on all of this. And